I'd like to thank Anil Prabhu and Mataji for inviting us, all the devotees, to this place, to their bhajan kuti. They are very nice deities, Radha Madhava. We have been taking care of the deities for the past 1 month, so all devotees should give them blessings that they can continue serving their lordships. Very beautiful deities. So we shall try and say something, because all nice devotees in front of me, all advanced devotees who can give a better class than me, but I've been deputed by Prabhuji's to say something. Some Prabhus have requested I say give some stories about Mayapur Dham. So we shall see what we can say. Give us your blessings. So there are 2 points here in this verse. One is eager to hear. The other is that we can dovetail everything to Krishna. There's the main points we have to understand. I think we go backward first from beginning. All of us are jivas, you know, we are trapped here. So we have this desire for sense gratification. We should start from there, because we are all, no one can say that, you know, they are free from desires. No one. Even you are a devotee, you cannot say that. So we all have desire. But most of us have desire for sense gratification. That is why we are here. Because of this desire for sense gratification, we are bonded to this material world. It's like a lock. We are caught. And because you are caught in this by material nature, Maya, you have to take birth in this material world over and over again. It becomes a cycle of samskara, you know. It's like, you know, you have to, the wheel, it's like a wheel. You take birth, you live for some time, you do activities, you die, you take birth again. A cycle of birth and death. And this cycle of birth and death is called reincarnation. Some people accept this, some people don't accept that. But scientifically you can understand that this is true. We can understand that we are not this body. Very simply, in the Bhagavad Gita, it gives you very nice examples. You know, you are a young boy. Yeah, then you start remembering things. Yeah? Like a child, you know, when he's born, he doesn't know anything, right? And like these children now, they are playing and shouting and all. They will remember how I played, you know. And as they grow older, they go to school. Then after that they will start to work, then they will have family and grow old. And in the old age they can think and they can remember, now I cannot move so much. I cannot do so many things. But when I was young I was playing around. You know, jumping up and down, doing so many things. I can't do that. But why I cannot do that? Because I'm the same person, no? I mean, in my mind I can think I'm the same person that I was before. But why I cannot? Then you understand that the body is different. You can understand that that time you had a young, youthful body, and now you have a very old, frail body. You can't do anything, you know. You want to do also cannot. There are a lot of people now, you know, going for spa and all that, getting injections and all, so they're young. So they want to capture that, because they can still remember. Memory is still there, you know. Oh, I had such fun when I was young. I can't do it now. Let me have the same fun. But they can't do it. And they're denying themselves that they have an old body. So this in itself we can understand that we are changing our body within this life. So at the end of life, naturally you change to another body. It is not the end of your soul, you know, that's not the end. We have to continue. So therefore, we can understand that there is another body that you need to take. Because Krishna is kind. He looks at you and says, this poor chair, enjoyed himself, and now he's going to die. And now he's also asking, please Krishna. Indirectly he is asking Krishna, actually, you know, because the activities that he performed actually is telling Krishna indirectly, please give me another body to enjoy. So Krishna, through material nature, arranges for another body. So Krishna is so kind. Understand? So we have to understand that we are going through this. Intelligent person can understand that. So then they can stop this, but they don't. Right? Most people are not intelligent. So they are trying to enjoy more and more. This is because of the sense gratification, the desire for sense gratification. So if you are a little bit intelligent, you can understand that I am the soul. I am somebody else. You can say soul, you can say energy, you can say the living force, whatever you want to say. You can understand that you are different from the body. That is very basic that you must understand first. We are different from the body. We are not the body. That we have to understand. Now, if we can understand that, then later we can understand that it must be a supreme body, a supreme soul that can guide us. Why are we here? What are we doing? Somebody else must be doing all these things, right? There must be superior intelligence to be able to give me another body, to be able to arrange activities in this world that I can enjoy. So there must be a supreme body. So that is beginning of knowledge. That is the beginning when we can start to question, who am I? What am I doing here? So then we can understand that there is a relationship with the Supreme Soul. Jivatma and Paramatma, there must be a relationship. Cannot be that I don't know that I am doing things according to my whims and fancy. No, it's not true. Somebody is directing everything in this world. The sun rises, the sun sets. Why? You don't tell the sun, okay, I am going to take a rest a bit more. Today you will rise 1 hour later. No, sun is not going to listen to you. Right? It's true. No, it's going to set when it's going to set. All these are being run by the order of Sri Krishna. Everything in this material world is being run by Sri Krishna. So we must understand that we are part and parcel of this world because we are connected in this material body. We must understand that we must surrender to the Supreme Person who will tell us what to do. Right? So how do you do that? So you can't approach Krishna directly. Why? Because you are contaminated. Krishna is supreme. He is very pure. Now you want to come to always the example is, you know, you want to go and see the president of a country or the prime minister of the country. What must you do? You must take appointment. How do you do that? You must know somebody. Somebody must recommend and say, okay, this person can come and see you. Otherwise, every Tom, Dick and Harry will be going and knocking on the Prime Minister's office and President's office. Then they cannot do their work. Right? So that is a crude example. Similarly, Krishna has no work to do. You know, he's nothing to do. But still, to see him, because he's such a pure entity, we must come to that level. We also must purify ourselves to be able to enter his association. Just like the university, Prabhupada always gives this example also. You want to go to the university, how is it possible? The whole population cannot go into the university, right? Only some people can go into the university. But right now, Kali Yuga is the influence so much, they say, you're not qualified also, you'll open some other university so you can go into. Or we'll have correspondence calls, or we'll have internet calls. These are all happening. And then they'll give you a paper and say, why? Greed, they want money. They want to make sure that they can earn something. Not qualified, also qualified. So, actually, you must be qualified to enter the university. Only a small percentage can enter. But all of them will be the same standard to learn from the teachers, the professors. Then they become knowledgeable and they are on par with the professors when they graduate. Similarly, you want to enter Krishna's abode, you must get some qualification. Now where is this holy beginning going to come from? A devotee of the Lord, who's already a devotee, right? That means the devotee always coming from his... See, Krishna is very kind. He knows you're suffering. So he says, how can I get back these people? Back to my association. He wants, actually, he wants us to come back more than we want to go back. This is a fact. How many of you can put up the hand and say, Krishna, now he comes now and he says, okay, Prabhu, Mataji, let's go back. All of you will say, no, I have family, I have children, they have to go to school on Monday, you know. It's a little bit difficult, you know, I have to take care of them. I mean, that means we are not ready to give up our attachment to this material world. This material world is very nice. Yes, it is made so beautiful that we are attracted. But there's a more beautiful place in Krishna that we don't see. But Krishna himself wants to us to come back. How he wants, he is telling you, he has given us Bhagavatam, he has given us Bhagavad Gita, he has given us all the different literature, Mahabharata, Ramayana, everything. Why? So that you can read and remember him. Somehow or other you can become a devotee. Not enough. He comes himself, takes avatar, and then he comes down to take us there. Not enough. He sends a pure devotee. Sends a pure devotee to take us back. Why? Because you have some dull matter inside, no brains. We have brain but we never use. All full of nonsense inside. Full of nonsense. I'm not joking, it's full. It takes time to clear this nonsense. That's why you need a devotee's association. Because books are there, Krishna is there, but still we don't go back. So we need association of devotee. Devotee, he comes. Then he'll say no nonsense. He'll teach you, guide you. Then, how? So many people, you know, there are stories, I'm sure a lot of devotees come, you know, because we don't know about Krishna. But because we hear something from a devotee, it's like, there's Bhaktivinoda Thakur told a story in Jaiva Dharma. There's one devotee, not a devotee, one person it's just a story, you know, it's just to give you an example. That this person, his name is Rajanath. So this Rajanath is a logician. He's very expert in all the scriptures. No one in the land can beat him. The king bestowed, he said, you are the king of logic. You can defeat anybody. So Rajanath was very talked of, you know. So I'm the best. And there's another person also, he's trying to be the first, you know, the best, but he can't. So he went to pray to Kali. In the middle of the night he'll do all the tantric things and he'll pray and pray, and for many days he prayed, and finally a voice in the sky said, don't worry, you'll become the best logician. Rajanath will be no more. Because this guy is praying for Rajana to be dead, but the voice said, no, he will be no more the best. So the next day, Rajana was sitting on the river Ganges. This is in Mayapur. So he's sitting next to the Ganges, and this boy comes and says, Prabhu, you are such a logician, no? But I've heard that there's another logician, a small boy, last time, very young boy, he was defeated everybody in my book. Navaju, you know. His name was Nimai. You should learn from him. And this Rajanath was surprised. I mean, there was someone before me who was such a great logician. Okay. And he went to find out, who is this Nimai? He was asking people, who is this Nimai? Who is this? And finally he found out, you know, there's some people who wrote history about Nimai. And he went, oh, this Nimai, quite a good logician, you know, he's very, very intelligent. He's more intelligent. All his works are very nice. He kept on reading and reading, and he became more and more attracted to Nimai. Became more attracted. Then he wanted to know his life of Nimai. Then he asked his grandmother, who is this Nimai? You know Nimai? Oh yes. In my time, Nimai was such a great logician, and then later on he, not only logician, he gave up logic and he became a devotee and he chanted the holy name, and he, everybody was drowning in the ecstasy of chanting the holy name. Then this boy, you know, this man, Brajanath, what? There's something more than Nyaya? There's more than getting to know logic? There's something more? This is interesting. I want to know more. So he hears more and more stories of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. And then he becomes more attracted. His heart starts to melt. He wants to know more now about pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he listens and he goes and borrows books, reads more. Then he wants to associate. He says, who are the people who can talk to me about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? And he goes to temples and he finds out who are the people who chants, you know, Hare Krishna, mantra, Maha mantra and all that. But still in his heart, is a little bit still hardened, you know. He says, see devotee, he won't bow down. But in his mind he will say, okay, I'll fold obeisances to this person. But he will just stand straight. He will not doubt, you know. Because the heart is like that. Yeah? Beginning is all like that, you know. We all have this ego. You know? I should, you know, this person, you know, so, you know, what nonsense, you know. Why? I am such a great person. Why I should bow down? So he doesn't want. So, one day there was an assembly. The assembly, all the devotees were there. And he also joined. Everywhere, very nice kirtan they were having. So he was excited, he was jumping up and down. He also wanted to, you know. But then a devotee, an old devotee, Ramadas Babaji came. He came and sat down, and immediately he saw this gentleman. The word gentleman means gentleman. Not the usual gentleman you say, you know, ladies and gentlemen. No, he's a gentleman. He's a very nice devotee. So when Rajana saw him, immediately he fell down. This time he fell down and offered his obeisances. Because his heart melted at seeing this such a nice devotee. So he took shelter of this person and started asking questions about Gauranga Mahaprabhu and the process of devotional service. And then the whole story is, the whole book is Jaiva Dharma. I think you're selling that book, Prabhu? Not now. So anyway, I just give it. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is trying to give us a very nice story to tell us how when devotees come, they're actually a lot of full of ego and their heart is a bit tough to crack, you know. But the process, how we can become devotee is already there. Prasadam should be there, chanting should be there, devotee association should be there, telling story should be there. That is why, you know, he became eager to hear. Devotees, when we start hearing, we become here. Because why? All of us have different senses. In our material world, we are eager to hear radio broadcasts, nice music, eyes to see TV, you know. So we buy the biggest TV we can get, nice stereo sound and all that. This is material world. So, devotees, we use our senses to listen to Krishna. Krishna Katha. The same, this devotees in Naimisharanya forest were doing the same thing. That's why they were so eager. When they heard Sudha Goswami talking about Krishna and different kathas, they got very worked up. They moved closer. Yes, yes. Come, tell us more. Give us more topics. Tell us. You know, talk to us about Krishna katha. I want to hear more. Because this is very, very nice. We want to know more. This is, because when you hear, you start to relish. This is natural for all of us. When we hear some stories or something, we are attracted. Right? You hear Harry Potter or something like that, you know. You want to see and you want to read and you hear. But all these stories in this material world doesn't satisfy us. Doesn't satisfy us. Why? Because we want to see Harry Potter 1, Harry Potter 2, Harry Potter 3. Why? Why the first Harry Potter didn't They betray you.
Why?
Because this is material. It's not going to satisfy you. No, it's true. It's not going to satisfy you. Whatever you do, you want something else. Okay, I've read today's newspaper, you throw it away. Right? You're not going to keep and say, I'm going to take it out and read it again tomorrow. No, right? Tomorrow you buy another paper. No, this is true. This is a fact. But scripture is different. We take the scripture, we read the scripture, we keep the scripture. Next day we take it and read it again, the same thing. Right? Who throws it away? Because it's relishable. We read it once, oh, so nice. We keep it. You take it again tomorrow, we'll read it again. The same chapter, we'll read it again. But of course, when you are not a devotee yet, when you read, you say, I've read it already. This is a fact. I've seen it, I've heard it, I've experienced all this. I've seen devotees are like that. Before they come to the platform of able to read every day, same thing. Not possible for a lot of people. They'll say, I've read it. Yes, yes, have you read the Gita? Yes, yes. When? 10 years ago. I read it there, nothing inside. Very dry, I don't understand anything. Krishna is talking to Arjuna and he's supposed to cry, I don't know why they stopped crying. It's true, it's a fact. It's not a joke, but it's true. But it is. A lot of people are like that. So, why I'm saying is we have to create the eagerness to hear, eagerness to listen. How you do that? Only by associating with devotees, taking prasadam. You have to associate. Then only we can chant. Because a lot of us read sometimes, come, I was discussing with some devotees yesterday also, they come, they just come, you know, this, I just want to make this point. They'll come every Saturday, every Sunday, okay, very nice, okay, go back. The whole week do something and come back again. Yes, I'm looking forward to Saturday only. Because I might do my duty. At least once a week I go to temple. Like karmis, you know, at least once a week I'll go to temple. This time I'm going to the Hare Krishna temple. Nice, because they give me free prasad. Nobody else gives me. Other temple, I thought they give me small peanuts only. Sometimes they give me little bit of water. Hey, how can I satisfy my hunger, you know? So they say, Hare Krishna is better. I can sing, chant, you know, listen to some katha and then take nice prasad and go home. Sleep nicely, next day wake up. If I want, I come. If not, I sleep in. This is happening. So, we have to be very clear why we want this process. Because we can relish. We have to relish. We have to start relishing it. We have to chant nicely. So, chanting, sometimes we do it alone. It's not good, you know. We have to chant in association first. Once you chant in association with devotees who are more advanced than you, you will get the taste. Once you get the taste, then you will be able to chant on your own. And without any distraction. Because most of the time when you chant, your mind will go somewhere. 100% of mind will go somewhere. 100%, 110%. I'll give you a guarantee that mind will go. Definitely, because we have so many things, so many rubbish, like I said earlier, in our mind. This rubbish needs to be cleared. It's not easy to clear this rubbish. That's why you need association. You need devotees who are more advanced. You sit with them and chant. So, if you think you want to advance in devotional service, you should take association and chant. And I would encourage that we have a Friday program. I think every alternate Friday, we're having a chanting as well, North Indian Association. You should come and spend some time chanting. Don't think we are so advanced that we don't have to go. Friday, I got so many things to do. At least give me a break, you know. Saturday I'm coming one. Sunday also I'm coming. Why you are so terrible? We can't do that. We have, because the desire has not come in our heart. We haven't had the desire, Krishna, I want you. Krishna, I want to go back to Godhead. Krishna, please take me back. We haven't got the desire yet. That's why we don't chant nicely. That's why we don't read the books. That's why we don't want to associate with devotees. That devotee is a nonsense. This devotee is a nonsense. This person is this. This person is that. Why? You don't see persons as devotees. You see persons as different, normal persons who are karmis. You see devotees as karmis. That's a problem. You know? So we have to be careful. We have to be very careful how we see another person. All of you are devotees. We must develop our eyesight such that we can see another person as a devotee. We have to do that. A lot of us haven't done that yet. We come and we see, oh, this is Sridhar Krishna, or oh, this is Pushpagopa. But we don't see that person as a devotee. This soul. This person is a soul. This is a devotee. He has surrendered his life to Krishna. He is trying his best to become a devotee. Krishna sees like that. We also should see like that. We are not seeing like that. We are seeing, oh, I am so great. No? I can play the mridanga so nice. Everybody wants me. If I am not there, no mridanga play. Very difficult. I am not there, nobody to sing. Sorry, you know, that program is a very horrible program. You know. Nobody can sing. Nobody can talk. So, we are seeing it on a mundane platform. That is our problem. We have to cultivate the desire to hear. This is what the rishis in Naimisharanya have developed. At first, they were just talking a lot of other things. They were trying to do some sacrifice for the good of this people in Kali Yuga. But when Sutta Goswami came, he diverted the whole thing. Because actually Sutta Goswami's father was giving the class. And Lord Balaram came and killed him. So that's another story. Rama Maharshana, actually he didn't give respect to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Why? He didn't understand the conclusion of the Vedas. The conclusion of the Vedas is to surrender to Krishna. He was sitting on the Vyasasana and Lord Balaram came and he says, okay, yes, nice, please take a seat. He was so learned. Rama Maharshana was very learned. He was one of the disciples of Vyasadeva. Vyasadeva gave him a project, you know, you take this part of the Vedas and you cultivate and you do that. He became puffed up. So Lord Balaram saw this and said, this is ridiculous. You don't even know the conclusion. You want to sit on the Vyasasana. He took a blade of grass and cut the throat, he'd gone really, he died. And after that, of course, because the sages benedicted this Rama Maharshana to live a long life, to be able to give the class, to sit on the Vyasasana, and gave him the position. Balaram killed him. So how? You know, his word of the sages is, you know, is there on one hand, and the Supreme Lord is on the other hand. So how to balance this? So Lord Balaram said, okay, I will bring him back to life. But the sages said, no, you are the Supreme Lord. You know what you are doing. Don't bring him back to life. But you must also satisfy our benediction that he should live on and should give the class. Scratch the head, right? Can you understand how to do this? But Krishna
Lord Balaram, is the Lord.
Is this okay?
I'll put Sutta Goswami. He is the son. Son means the continuation of the father. And he will give him all the long life. And he can continue discussing what to do and how to do it. But fortunately, Sutta Goswami had just come from hearing Sukadeva Goswami. In the assembly where Sukadeva Goswami was talking to Parikshit Maharaj. So, in this way, we are very, very fortunate. Because Sukadeva Goswami spoke, after that everybody dispersed. You know, they all dispersed, you know. Everybody went back to the different lokas, you know. Sutta Goswami came to Naimisharanya. And he gave the Bhagavad. And because of his mercy, we are also able to learn and hear Srimad Bhagavatam. So we should develop this eagerness to hear. Try to develop this. If you don't develop this, it's very, very difficult. Because you will not progress in Krishna consciousness. So because we are all human beings, you know, we have the higher reasoning power. Right, we have it. Other people don't have. I mean, other animals don't have. The 8,400,000 species. Out of this, 400,000 is human. And out of this, only a few. Few of us are able to understand. So we should take the opportunity to understand. If you don't, then this reasoning faculty is useless. Animals don't have. Animals, they are able to kill another animal. Right? They can kill and eat. That is their dharma. That is their duty. That they have to do. But because they kill another animal, they don't get any karmic reactions. Unlike us. We kill someone, or some animal, or some insect. We get reaction. Because we have a high intelligence. We know what is right, what is wrong. How to engage in devotional service, and what to do and what not to do. So our dharma is to engage in devotional service. So by engaging in devotional service, we can get freedom from this material world, we can get happiness, and then you can get spiritual perfection. But most of us, we are in a dream. When you are dreaming, you are elsewhere. So many places we visit, you know, in our dreams. Yeah, it's true. All of us, no one can say, I don't dream anything, or I never visit any place in my dream. We all dream and we all visit many, many places. But when the alarm clock rings, we wake up. Right? So we wake up and they say, oh, I'll come back, huh? This is a different place. This is an actual place. You know, for us, when we wake up, we think this is our actual place. And we are engaged in, oh, I'm supposed to do this, I am so and so, I'm engaged in this, I'm doing this, 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 this. So, similarly, we should engage in devotional service and get the Guru to help us. So the right Guru will give the alarm clock, will wake us. So they wake up. Jeev Jago, Jeev Jago. Huh? What? Bhaktivinoda Thakur sang this song. Wake up, you're sleeping on the lap of the witch Maya. So we are all sleeping. Actually, we are all sleeping. We are still dreaming, you know. We are still dreaming. We don't know what we are doing. So the Guru is coming. He's telling us, Haribo, wake up. Get up. The Guru will kick you. He'll say, what are you doing? Nonsense. You're sleeping. Two types of sleeping. Now you're sleeping in the material world, and you're also sleeping from Krishna, from Krishna consciousness. This is two things. Like Dhritarashtra Maharaj, he was blind physically and spiritually also. So what happened? Physically he's blind. He can't see a lot of things. You would have expected that some other faculty would have become better. You know, sometimes some people, you see, their legs are paralyzed, but they develop their arms, become stronger, so they use their arms to move around and do a lot of things. Dhritarashtra Maharaj didn't do that. His eyes was blind physically, but he didn't use his other faculty to increase himself, to develop himself. He didn't use his intelligence. So what did he do? He supported his 100 sons to do nonsense. Until Vidura had to come and say, "Hari Word, this is the end of life, you know. What are you doing? Please wake up." He became his guru, and finally Dhritarashtra left, went to the forest, meditated and went back to Godhead. So we all need kicking. We all need to be kicked hard, because we are not, haven't woken up yet. We all have to wake up. One of the signs of waking up is that you increase your chanting. Your quality of chanting will be nice. You will be able to distribute nice Krishna conscious books. You want to do it. You go door to door. In this connection, I think we are going to have some increase in book distribution, and all of you must take part to distribute books. Why? When you do these things, you will, your heart will melt, and you will be able to taste the holy name. The ecstasy, you can taste it. You will have some nice taste when you chant. Because otherwise your chanting is dry. There's no activity. We are jivatmas, we cannot just keep quiet, you know. We cannot just sit still and say, "Okay, I'm not going to do anything. I'm going to meditate on the Lord's form and that's it." You're not, you can't. This is Kali Yuga. For heaven's sake, listen. This is Kali Yuga. This is not the time where Dhruva Maharaj was Kali Yuga and all that. No. They were able, at that time, the atmosphere was totally different. Totally different. It was conducive to be able to sit in one place and chant and to meditate. Now it is not possible. Don't try all these things. Just do simply what Prabhupada and the Guru Parampara say. Chant nicely, take part in devotional activities. Very nice activities. Prabhupada has given us very nice. One devotee asked me the other day, "I have to write a report to my Guru Maharaj, but last 6 months I haven't done any activity." So I told him, "Prabhu, you have been chanting for the last 6 months, you have been attending classes for the last 6 months, you have been reading the books for the last 6 months, you have been associating with devotees for the last 6 months, you have been taking prasadam for the last 6 months. These are all devotional activities. So you can't say you haven't done anything. It doesn't mean that you must do big, big projects to be able to say to your Guru Maharaj, 'Oh, I have taken part in some devotional activities.' No, not true. Simply coming to the program, you are doing devotional activities, Prabhus and Madhijis. This is a fact. Simply talking to another devotee about Krishna is a devotional activity. These are all devotional activities. Cooking for Krishna is a devotional activity. Of course, you must cook, not thinking that, how many person I'm going to cook? How much? Is it nice? Is it taste? No! The cooking is for Krishna's pleasure. So when you do that, then Krishna is pleased, Radharani is pleased, the prasadam will turn out nice. Even if it doesn't taste anything, it's prasadam. Your mind is purified. But if the prasadam is not done nicely, your mind is not purified. You're disturbed. And you can feel when you take prasadam or so-called prasadam outside or somewhere else, you go and eat, you go home, you try and chant, you try and sleep and all that, your mind is disturbed. This is practical advice to all Prabhus and Madhijis. This is a fact. Don't compromise. You have, Prabhupada said, give this one life. We all agree that we all come back right many times. Give this one life to Krishna. Why can't you? Why can't we come to a position where you say, "Okay, this one life I will chant very nicely. This one life I will only take prasadam cooked by devotees and offer to Krishna, this one life, I will read all the books, this one life, I will distribute books, this one life, I will be nice to everybody. Why can't we do that? Let's do that. And once we do that, you will see Krishna reciprocating, Guru reciprocating. And you find ecstasy, you find so nice the heart, you feel elevated, you feel like you're in cloud nine. No, seriously, you feel so nice, you feel elevated. You'll definitely feel this, I promise you this. Krishna says this, not me. I say this on behalf of Guru and Krishna. I promise you this because it happens. It works. It's the only process in the whole world that works. We have all been to different processes. We have all tried everything. We have come to this process. Give it the chance. Why don't we give that chance to Krishna? Krishna is saying, give me that one, this one life. And then you see the result. Even some people say, oh Prabhu, I've been doing this for 20 years, nothing. There must be something wrong you're doing. Right or not? You are not taking enough association of advanced devotees. You are not chanting your rounds nicely. You are not taking prasadam. You are not reading nicely. You are not inquiring to clear your doubts. You are not doing all these things. That is why we are not progressing. And after a while you say, okay, I will go to another process. You have treated this process as a normal process. But it is not. This is the only process that will bring us back to Godhead. Only process. The only process. The only process. I must say it three times. Because there is no other process. Nothing can work. Only this will work. Because devotees in our parampara have tried it. And it's successful. Even devotees who are leaving the body before they leave, they tell us, I've seen Krishna, I've seen Mother Yasoda, I've done this, I've done that, they told me to do this. So many stories we have heard. So many stories. Even living, as they told us. In Mayapur we can see Tananivas and Pankajangari. They tell us. So many stories there, so many. They can hear the deities walking about. They can see the deities doing so many things. The deities are present, it's not, we can't see because our matrix, our eyes are full of nonsense, you know. We can't see. We don't have the premanjana children. We don't have that. We don't have the salt to clean, you know, to clear our eyes. We don't have that. It comes only with the clearing of the heart. Then you can see Radha Madhava there, they're dancing, they're playing, you know, they're doing so many things you can't see. They are there, they are not statues, like Prabhupada said in the purport, they are not stone. They are there, but we don't have that vision. We have to cultivate that vision. We have to do that. Don't just come every day and every weekend and then day in and day out, nothing is happening. Why? We shouldn't allow that to happen. We should make sure that we become successful in this very life. We have to become successful. We don't want to go back to this material world. This is the worst place, Prabhu Mataji. This is not... Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj said, this place is not fit for a gentleman. It's full of nonsense. You go out, you get disturbed every day. Only in association of devotees we can get peace. There's no peace outside this association of devotees. Where you have peace? Tell me. I also want to know. We can only find peace in Krishna consciousness only. It's a fact. We all have found peace. We have to realize this fact. Sometimes we are heavy, but please forgive us. Because I'm trying to get you all to come to that platform where you can become Krishna conscious. Not just floating. Stand up and come out of the water and walk. The path given to us by our Guru Maharaj and our Parampara. Walk the path. They have already given us the path. Don't need to go through the forest and take a hack and say, knife and say, where's the path? Where's the path? No! Krishna and Guru have given us the path. They have laid out this nice path leading back to Godhead. Walk on the path. don't have to do anything else. What are we doing? We are trying to steer away from the path. The side roads, you know. And we are taking the side roads. We are, because the side road got nice, oh, nice house, nice lights, nice garden. And then you say, okay, let me take a rest, I'll just go out for a short while. When you go out for a short while, you're gone. You can't find your way back. And the guru has to come back to the side path and say, you rascal, why did you go out there? Please come back. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did that to his servant also. What was his name of the servant?
Kalaalakrishna.
Yes. So this Prabhu, the servant of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, on a tour to South India, no? So he went to listen to this Mayavadis. What's the name? Bhattacharya. Yes, correct. What nonsense. They were talking so many deep. Then the servant was so attracted to this. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had to personally go there, catch hold of him, drag him out, give him a few tight slaps to make him wake up, you know. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu later, when he went back to Mayapur, told him, you go away. Do you want Krishna and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to tell you to go away? Do you want that to happen to you? There should be a resounding no. I don't want Krishna to reject me. I don't want Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to reject me. No way. Why should I be rejected? I'm the most fallen. Nityananda Prabhu came to say, the most fallen. So we should take shelter of this Nityananda Prabhu's mercy. Even if you have committed the most horrible things, taking shelter of Mayapur Dham, Nagadvip, and taking shelter of Nityananda Prabhu, you will be forgiven. Such a nice place, Mayapur. Such a nice place, the Dham. Even more merciful than Vrindavan. This is manifested by Krishna because he wants to save us. That is why he came. There are so many stories. Maybe we should read a bit of stories on the Mayapur and Navadvip. We have some time. We shall. This is a home program, you know. I shall take more time. It's okay, right, Mataji? Prabhuji? So we shall read. So we just came back from Mayapur. We spent about 10 days there. It's a very nice experience. We've been there many times, but still, you know, every time going back to Mayapur is always very nice. I'll encourage everybody to take to go there. Take it as permission to go. Because some devotees will say, no, I don't have permission to go. You have permission to go. Go to Mayapur. You have permission to go? Go to Vrindavan. Don't, in this life, don't miss all these holy places. Because even taking bath in the Ganges, it is only for a short time now. For next 10,000 years only, Ganga will be present in our eyes. After 10,000 years, the whole Kali Yuga will be totally covering this world, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has instructed Ganga Devi to hide, like Saraswati Devi has hidden. You know, the river Saraswati, you can't see it now. She has hidden underground. So, as Kali Yuga progresses and completely takes over, Mahaprabhu has instructed Ganga, you please hide yourself. Because it's going to be horrible. You can't take the sinful activities of these people in your water. You can't clean it anymore. That bad is going to become. So we should take the opportunity. Go, take bath. Don't waste your life. We don't know when we leave the body in our Prabhus and Mataji's. We don't think, you know, I was just discussing with some Prabhus yesterday also. We have come so far, we are very fortunate. How much more we are going to live, we don't know. So if you have wasted all our life after to today, please do not waste it from today onwards. That is important, we have to understand this. Yeah? We don't waste it. Okay, we shall read the history of Navadvip Dham. Very nice. One day, Lord Shiva was praising the glories of Navadvip Dham to Parvati. And he told Parvati that as a bee, you know, place in a lotus. So Krishna was enjoying with Viraja. Viraja is one of the gopis in the Vrindavan, you know. And he was playing with her in the forest of Vrindavan, enjoying herself, himself. And Radharani heard about him. So she said, wow, who is he enjoying? He's not enjoying with me, who is he enjoying? Viraja, I'll go and look for them. She went, but she couldn't find them. She couldn't find them. She saw, because Krishna and Viraja saw Radharani come and they hid themselves. And then they disappeared. Krishna disappeared and Viraja became a river. They are smart, you know, they know how to hide them, these guys. So, again, she heard that Krishna and Viraja were enjoying. Again she went, she couldn't find. Then she thought, I can't catch them. Every time I see, I don't see Krishna and I don't see Viraja. I only see a river and a nice place. What should I do to capture Krishna? So Radharani created, she got all the sakis together and says, and between the Ganges and the Yamuna River, and she says she created a beautiful place, decorated with creepers, with grass, very beautiful grass, bees, trees filled with many, many flowers and bumblebees, deer, ducks on the pond, very beautiful. You can see in the fragrance, you know, of the place. You can just imagine, you know, such a beautiful place with different flowers, mallika, malati, jasmine. Is, you know, all these different flowers. Very nice. Different fruits, different tulasi forest. And she also made Yamuna flow through there. She made Ganga flow there. Even today you can go and see in Mayapur, in Navadvip, Ganga is flowing there, Saraswati is flowing there, Yamuna is flowing there. Those of you who have gone there, you can see. You can even see the confluence when you take the boat, you can see the different color of Ganga and Yamuna and Saraswati. You can see the different white and black and all that. Very, very nice. Sometimes, you know, you'll see, wow, such a beautiful place. So like that, she had created this very nice place with birds singing and chirping and all that. Just imagine, such a beautiful place. Radharani is so expert, she created such a nice thing. And she dressed herself, and all the other sakis dressed themselves very beautifully. And then she played on the flute. It's a beautiful melody she played. Krishna was attracted, he came. He says, yes, what is this? Nice place? Yeah, yeah, very nice, very, very nice. Okay, and he was attracted by Radharani and her love for him. And he was, with, you know, choking with love, and he said, oh, beautiful Radha, you are my very life. Now he surrendered to her. Krishna is always like that, you know. And he said, you are more dearer to me than my life. I will never leave you. You have created this nice, beautiful, wonderful place. And I shall name this new Vrindavan. It's like a new Navadvip. That's Navadvip means a new place. Also, it also means nine islands. There are two meanings to that. You know, if you really go to the Navadvip, there will be nine islands there. So anyway, Radharani did that. You know, she made nine islands and she created very, very nice places for enjoyment. Because Radharani has created this, Krishna said, I will live there eternally. So Radharani caught him. Okay? So like this, people who come to Mayapur and Navadvip and worship Radharani and Krishna, even once, will obtain the results of going to all the sacred places, will get the result. And he will quickly attain devotional service by visiting Mayapur. Yeah? Okay, so Lord Shiva continues, said, I have described to you the reason for appearance of Navadvip. When heard by mankind, this narration removes all sins and bestows devotional service. Whoever rises early in the morning and with devotion to Gaura recites or hears the story of Navadvip's creation will certainly attain Gauranga. Jai Haribo. So all of us will attain Gauranga. So you see his mercy of Krishna, Radharani and Gauranga Mahaprabhu, and Nityananda Prabhu. They are so merciful. Listening to their that's the creation only. We have devotional service. And we will have Gauranga Mahaprabhu. But of course, we shouldn't commit sinful activities on the strength of the holy name. Huh? Don't do that. Don't say, okay, I already have, so I'll go do nonsense. No, can't do that, you know. We can't do that. We already have this. Keep it. Treasure it. It's something that you can't, not everybody can get. We should be very, very thankful for the mercy of the Lord. You know, we should be very, very thankful. We should be very happy. We're very, very fortunate. Not many people can do that, can have that. So that is why we are urging all of you, give this book to everybody you see. Why? When you do that, they also have a chance to go back. Don't you want all Krishna's servants to go back to Godhead? Yes, we want. Everybody can go back. Everybody don't have to suffer in this material world. Why we have to? We cannot, our heart is not so hard, you know, that we say, I only want to go back, and rest of you say that. Yeah. No, we don't want that. We want everybody to go back. I can stay here, never mind. Everybody go back. That's what Prahlad Maharaj prayed. Please Lord, take everybody back. I will stay for their sin. But the Lord is very merciful. Say, no, never mind. All of you can go back. I'll come as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Nityananda Prabhu. Okay. Even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not as merciful as Nityananda Prabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to kill this Jagai Madai. Even though he is a merciful incarnation, Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Name Gaura Kirtanam, he is the most merciful incarnation. He was so angry because his devotee was being harmed. But more merciful than Gauranga Mahaprabhu was Nityananda Prabhu. He said, no, your mission is to save all these people. The most fallen soul you are taking back. So by stopping Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from killing them, Nityananda Prabhu proved that he was more merciful. Now you should all go to Eka Chakra. It's such a beautiful place. It's very, very far, about four and a half hours away from Mayapur. That place is so beautiful. It is untouched by this material world. Honestly, you should go there and see for yourself. Nityananda Prabhu's birthplace is still there. His house is there. The place where he was, you know, they have, there's a house, there's another house for giving birth. That place is preserved. And next to it, there's a pond where his mother used to bathe him. He's still there. Very beautiful. And further down, actually, if you have a slide, I can show you the picture. You know? Further down the road, there's a tree, and underneath the tree, they have buried Nityananda Prabhu's umbilical cord. You see this place, I tell you, Prabhu, you will be in ecstasy. Such a beautiful place, Eka Chakra Dham. The people there are so nice. They will fall down at your feet and ask you what they can do for you. They are such nice devotees. Beautiful place. Very nice. All of us should go and take darshan of Nityananda Prabhu's place, birthplace. It's such a nice place, all of us, because he will bestow his mercy upon us, because we have taken travel to go and see him. He is so, so merciful. He will say, yes, give it to you. I don't mind, you know, you take Krishna Prem. So we should visit nice place like this, very, very nice. So we shall read another story. It's okay, right? We have time. No problem. There is this island called Simantadweep. Okay. One day, how this place became known as Simantadweep. Okay, one thing is, Navadweep is there forever. It is there eternally. It is not that, you know, Radharani, you know, there's a time for creation. No, like Vrindavan, there's no such thing as, oh, now I created. No such thing. It is eternally existent. This we must remember. And this Navadweep is eternally existent in this material world. Only thing, we are not aware. It was not revealed to us. Only now, by the appearance of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, 500 years ago, it is revealed to us. It was always there. If you read different Puranas and all that, it is mentioned that the Pandavas went there, Markandeya Rishi was there, that so Markandeya Rishi is so long ago now. They were all there. The Kumaras were there. Everybody was there and they knew the place, but it wasn't revealed to us until now. Because even if it was revealed then, we don't know how to appreciate all these things. We are foolish people. Even you go to Vrindavan, yes, everybody knows Vrindavan. You go there, you don't know how to appreciate Vrindavan. The mood in Vrindavan is different. We don't know how to appreciate that mood. We can't come to that mood. That is why it is stated, you go to Vrindavan, don't stay too long. Maybe 3 days, 4 days, you know. Unless you are with other devotees and you are able to visit different places and they tell you how to take darshan of different places. Very important. One day, my Guru Maharaj took us to place where Tulsi Maharani was born, you know. If you have been to Tulsi Maharani's place, yeah, you have not been, huh? You have been, huh? Yeah, you have been. Yes. Okay, on the bus, Guru Maharaj was saying, you know, we are going to this place. Clear your mind of all nonsense. Make sure you are thinking of asking for devotional service to Krishna. Because if you go there, you ask for anything nonsense, that will be given to you. What for? So our mind must be purified before we even enter different places of the holy dham. So that's why before you go, you must prepare yourself. Mentally you should be prepared. Before even you go to Vrindavan or Mayapur, you have to prepare yourself mentally. Nicely. Then when we go, take shelter of devotees who can tell us what to do and what not to do. Yeah? So otherwise you will be committing a lot of offenses. It's very, very sad, you know. Because you go all the way and that means Krishna has closed the door. Actually, you can be living in Vrindavan, you can go everywhere and nothing, but you're not seeing Vrindavan. You're not taking darshan of Vrindavan. Nothing is happening. You're just in a city, and you're just coming back. You don't relish taking association of devotees, relish the places of pastimes of Krishna. You don't relish that. That is a fault, and that is offensive to the holy dham. And we have to be careful how we take, you know, going on a pilgrimage. We have to be very careful. That's why I think Prabhuji is all going with their Guru Maharaj, 4,000 people, right? In Vrindavan. But how many of you are in that mood? But maybe Guru Maharaj's mercy can protect you to a certain extent. but not all the way. Because there are a lot of people who do this with the guru also and then they fall away, you know, because they are offending. Very important to take nice shelter of devotees. Doesn't mean only guru one. Right? Some people think only guru only I can take shelter, other people I don't care. Other people I don't want. He is not as advanced as my guru. Not true. We have to take shelter of all devotees. We have to see, develop the eye to see in the heart of each and every devotee who is advanced, who is not advanced. Then we can take shelter. To those devotees who are not so advanced, we give association. Those devotees who are more advanced than us, we should take their seat. That is the way to become a devotee. As a devotee, of course you are humble and you say, I am not qualified. I am at the lowest position. Right? But of course, if you see someone else who is lower than you and you can really know that, please give them the association. Try and help them. And these are all things that we have to learn. So anyway, Simantadvip, one of the islands. In this island, the name, how it came. Once Lord Shiva was dancing and chanting the glories of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. So Parvati heard him. Oh, my Lord is chanting Gauranga, Gauranga, Gauranga. It is making my heart very pleased, ecstasy. I feel something, you know. I feel so happy. Then when Lord Shiva stopped dancing, she asked him, who is this Gauranga? And that's when Lord Shiva said, Gauranga is Krishna himself. Coming in during Kali Yuga, he will take birth in this Navadvip. Then Parvati was saying, well, she was so happy, I have a chance to meet Krishna. And she comes to this Simantadvip, this island, and she performs austerities to invoke Gauranga Mahaprabhu. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appears to her. He says, what are you doing in this island? Why are you here? And Parvati says, Mahaprabhu, you have given me the task of running this material world, material nature. I have to do so many things to keep people away from you. I don't have a chance. Wherever you are, I cannot be. Wherever I am, you are not there. So, please be merciful upon me. Give me the shelter so I can have your association. Then Mahaprabhu said, yes, I'll give you this in this island. So this is, and she took the dust of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and she put it between her hair. No, ladies, when they comb their hair, it's actually in the center parting, you know. And this is a semen. So she put it on the parting. So therefore the island is called Simantadvip. Nowadays you don't see that woman has got, you know, this Kali Yuga. So in this Simantadvip, there are some places that we can visit. One of the places is Chankazi's Samadhi. Chankazi in the previous Yuga in Vrindavan was Kamsa. Okay? So Kamsa in the Vinda, in Mathura, you know, he was like, you know, doing all nonsense, and then Krishna killed him. And when Krishna killed Kamsa, he got the liberation. He merged into the body of Krishna. But you see the mercy of Navadvipa, you know. Kamsa took birth as Chankazi, and he stopped the congregational chanting, you know, of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He broke the mridanga of his devotees, you know, who were chanting in the streets. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu organized civil disobedience movement, you know, even before Gandhi, you know. Okay, let us organize ourselves. If you go to Mayapur, you can see the house where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was born, and then you can see the road. The road that they took is still there. Nowadays a lot of cars are moving and all that, but the road that they took is still there. So you can walk from there all the way to Chankari's house. It's quite a distance, but you can actually walk. So what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did is organize everything. He put everybody and walked along the road to Chankari's house. Chankari heard this very tumultuous sound. Everybody, Hare Krishna! Everybody, you know, the drums and the... He heard this, he got scared. He hid himself. So he hid himself. He hid himself, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, everybody came to the house. And he says, come out! Come out! Chankari was fearful and says, I cannot come out, everybody will beat me up. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, no, you come out. He came out, and they sat down, and they discussed philosophy, Krishna philosophy, and he was discussing from the Quran. The point I am making is, in this Kali Yuga, Kamsa as Chankarji got Krishna prem. He didn't get liberation. Okay? That is the point. That means, whoever goes to Navadvip, chants the holy name, you will get prema, Krishna prem. That, of that there is no doubt. Just see the mercy of this island. Very nice. Yeah? So it's not just auspicious, Prabhuji. It's a given that you go to Navadvip and you take shelter, you chant, you go back to Godhead. You get Krishna prem. Whether you go back to Godhead or not, it's a different story. You may not want to go back to Godhead, or why? You may want to go and say, okay, let me distribute this to other places, other lokas. Right? We may want to do that. I don't know. But going back to Godhead is not the end all and be all, you know. Having Krishna prem, Gauranga prem is the ultimate. Right? So that's one place you can visit in there. The other place is Jagannath Temple. This is a very nice temple. I think, I don't know how to say. It's a beautiful place. You all must visit. I don't know how to say. It's such a nice place. Jagannath, you see, this place, there's Jagannath Baladev Subhadra there. Alright? And this place, there's a devotee there. His name is Jagadish Ganguly. I'll just read the story here. He was a devotee of Lord Chaitanya, and he used to go to Puri every year with all the Mayapur devotees to see Lord Chaitanya and Lord Jagannath. He became completely heartbroken one year when the devotees went to Puri without him. Because he was getting too old. And to make the trip, too old, and he became blind after an illness. To console Jagadish, Lord Jagannath appeared to him in a dream and instructed him that the next morning when he took bath in the Ganga, a log would touch him and restore his vision. Okay? He was to take that log to a certain devotee carpenter and have a deity of Jagannath carved. Lord Jagannath also told Jagadish that this carpenter would refuse to do the work because his hands were deformed due to leprosy. But that Jagadish was to insist because by carving, his leprosy would be cured. As predicted, the carpenter was very reluctant. He didn't want to do this. He's got leprosy, you know. His fingers had withered away. He was in great pain. But Jagadish finally persuaded him to do the carving. At first the carpenter could hardly hold the tools in his thumbs. You know, have you seen leprosy people? Those people who have seen leprosy, you can see they don't have fingers, you know, they'll be like that, you know. Very, very difficult to hold, nothing to hold. So he can't hold the tools. And every time he tried to cut the wood, the log, his hands bleed so badly. He had a lot of pain. But he persevered. And slowly he was cured. And his hands was returned to normal. Okay? And the carpenter made deities of Jagannath, Baladesa and Subhadra. After Jagadish left this world, the worship of these deities were neglected. And the temple fell into ruin. Then about 60 years ago, a villager noticed a blue flower growing out of a huge termite hill. Coming closer to the hill, he became astonished upon hearing a voice saying, "Please help me. Please get me some water. I'm very thirsty." The villager quickly ducked into the termite hill and discovered the beautiful deities of Jagannath, Baladesa, Subhadra. Even though their forms were made of wood and they had been under a termite hill for so many years, their divine wood forms were unharmed. After this, their temple and worship were again established. Unfortunately, the worship was not maintained, diminishing year by year until 1978, when Lord Jagannath, aged Brahmana Pujari, requested ISKCON to take over the temple and worship of the deities. Once I'll read this story also. So there's in the beginning there was very little prasadam to offer to the deities, you know. To offer to the Lord Jagannath by the Pujari. So the Pujari will come from ISKCON every day with a cycle, you know, and bring the boga in a tiffin. This was not known to the management, who instructed no worship was to begin until all the land titles had been signed. Because the ISKCON management, you know, the management people always like, "Don't do this, don't do that." But Krishna doesn't care. "I'm hungry, I'm thirsty, I want to eat, you know." So he instructed the devotees to do that, and they brought. Okay. So they stopped him, you know. They stopped this pujari from doing this. And then the second night, the pujari had a dream. And then that dream, when he went to wake up, he wake up the deity, in the dream he is waking up the deities, you know. But when he took out the cover, the deities are not there. In his dream, he said, "He's not there, right? Where are the deities? Where are the deities looking?" And he went, "Oh my Lord, what is happening? What is happening?" And he, "Where are you going?" Then he saw them running in the field. He saw them running in the field, all running away. "Where are you going?" "We are going to ISKCON to take prasadam." ISKCON. "They have nice prasadam." So this puja, he woke up and he told the management, "Probably we have to start this prasadam again because they will run." No, but these deities are very powerful. They are really very, very powerful. You won't see them, your heart will melt. Going to this Jagannath temple is as good as going to Puri. No, it's true. It's as good as going to Puri. It's beautiful. I tell you, Prabhupada, beautiful deities. I cannot describe. I'm a fool. I can't describe these deities. Really. I tell you. Very nice. There's another story, huh? This about 15 years ago, two rickshaw drivers, you know. Now this Mayapur, there are a lot of Muslims, you know, a lot of Muslims. And this rickshaw fellas came, you know, during the Iskcon Yatra festival. One of the drivers offered his friend, a Muslim, Jagannath Prasadam. There's a lot of rickshawalas there, you know. So this Hindu rickshawala offered a Muslim rickshawala prasadam. Muslim fellow rickshawala said, "No, I don't want." And threw it on the floor, on the ground, threw it away. "We don't touch such things, you know. We don't touch prasadam, all this. We are Muslim. We only pray to God. We don't pray to all these statues and all this." That night, Lord Balaram came into the dream of the Muslim man. And Lord Balaram was sitting on his chest and choking him. He says, "I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill you." See, you know, and hit him across the face, slapping. Slap, 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 slap. And Subhadra was also there in the dream. Subhadra was telling Balaram, "Hit him again." He refused Mahaprasadam of my Lord. Kill him. So like that you asleep the whole night, you know. He woke up in the morning, his whole cheek was swollen. So his cheek was swollen. He came to the temple and he says, he was in a state of shock, you know. He says, please forgive me. He says, give me the prasadam. He took the prasadam. These are true stories, okay? We are not making it up. This really happened. This really happened, I tell you. Another time, there's a local jackfruit farmer was troubled by two boys who kept stealing his jackfruit. One day he got close enough to chase them, but they escaped by jumping over the fence. You know, behind the Jagannath temple in Mayapur, there's a big field of jackfruit trees, and if you go there, you can see all these things, you know. These are not just stories we are telling, this is true. Those of you who have been there, you can see. So, they jumped over the fence. But one of the, when they jumped over the fence in the caught the dress and tore the cloth. The farmer brought the cloth to the temple and asked the pujari if he knew anyone who wore this cloth. Okay? You know or not? The pujari was surprised. He recognized this cloth to be from one of Lord Jagannath's outfit. He ran into the deity room and found the Jagannath's outfit had a piece that was missing exactly the same size, fabric and shape. Just see. The Lord was actually doing all these things. It is not, and that's what I'm saying, the Lord is not statue or anything like that. We have to develop that faith by hearing all these stories. We know it's true. He actually went to do this thing that he ran away, you know. He went back to the temple. When he's not looking, he run. He do all these activities. So about 15 years ago, a small boy came to the temple. He became very attached to Lord Lady Subhadra's brooch. She had a brooch, you know. Sometimes, I don't know, we put brooch and all that, right, for the deities, you know. He went into the altar and was about to remove the brooch. You know, this small boy, you know, he wanted to steal, you know, from brooch. Suddenly, Lord Balaram swung his arm and gave him a tight slap. Krishna, you see the activities? So there was this god, his name was Prahlad. The god, you know, he also got mercy. One day he was sick and didn't do his night guard duty for 2 days. The next night he dozed off while leaning against the temple wall. Lord Balaram then appeared to him in a dream. Grabbing Prahlad by the neck, Balaram shaking him and said, "Why are you not protecting us? It is very dangerous around here as there are many decoys." You did not come to protect us for 2 days, but this is your duty. After that, the God swore he would never again relax in his duty to the Lordship. Another time, Prahlad was up in a tree where it was safe from snakes while protecting Jagannath's mango grove. Around midnight, a very well dressed and cultured man appeared and asked him how to get to the temple. Prahlad showed him the way, but he was confused as to why such a cultured person would be out alone so late at night. Very soon after this, he heard a loud roaring kirtan coming from the temple with bells ringing, conch shells blowing and ladies ululating. Let me tell you something going on there. No? The Lord and so many other people are having some activities there. So this Prahlad had a chance to have the mercy. So this is another story, very nice also. One day, after ISKCON took over the worship, Pujari arrived in his, as usual, with the boga offering for Lord Jagannath. When he prepared all the plates, you know, he cleared everything and he found that no tulasi. Then he said, very upset, you know, I forgot, you know, make a mistake. You can't, you know, deity worship, you shouldn't be making mistakes, you know, you should have everything pakka. So he said, never mind. He offered the food And he said, please Lord, you forgive me and accept this food, you know. And then after that he left. Then after a few 20 minutes later he came back and he saw that there was tulasi tree, a twig of tulasi all over the place. How did he come? Nobody knows. This is how the Lord reciprocates with his devotees. See, there was no tree. He couldn't find any tulasi bush, you know. But he just prayed, you somehow or other do something. And sure enough, there was a tulasi leaf on all the boga. The Lord reciprocates, you know. So many stories are there. I think we shall stop here and ask if there's any questions, and ask for forgiveness if I have offended all devotees, and see if there's any other maybe realizations. Yes, go.
We usually say that Krishna never forgets one crore small service for him. But there are many cases like Lord Chaitanya's personal servant, like Chotari,
yes.
They were little inducted in their service and Lord banished them forever in that
material. Yes,
life.
Yes.
So how do
you
understand that?
Now, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came. He's a sannyasi, you know. He has to show that very strict sannyas, and serving sannyas is not to be taken lightly. He has to show that, and he is being very strict. Just like Lord Ram came to become a very good king, and to show that he is ekaparni, you know. He's different times he comes, he's got different reasons. So he is a sannyas. And he never associated with any women. And he wanted his servants to be pakka like him, so that his servant can keep him away from all this unnecessary association. So therefore, he was showing in Kali Yuga, if you take sannyas, you better be strict. And if your devotees or your servants are doing nonsense, you can't tolerate all this nonsense. You have to make sure that it's out. Right? Nowadays we see so many sannyas and their servants doing nonsense. In fact, the sannyasi will be in the room and the servant will go and get a mataji from him. You know? This is happening. We are seeing it. Because they're all in kahoot, you know? They're doing nonsense in the name of Krishna or other deities or whatever, and they will do nonsense. So the Lord is showing that you cannot be like that. You understand? Like Chota Haridas also, he didn't do anything wrong, you know? All he did was he went to Mataji, and then Mataji was an elderly Mataji, not even a young Mataji. He said, Mataji, please give me some green so I can cook for my Lord. The Lord was upset. You are a sannyasi. You cannot approach a woman. So he gave him punishment. But of course, Chota Haridas came back to please the Lord, singing for him specially. Nobody else knew this, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could see him, and he was singing for him. That is a different thing. We cannot come to that level and say, oh, therefore I do the same thing. No, can't do that. And, do you understand? Yeah. So, different pastime, different thing and different reason. The Lord has His reason. He is to show, to teach. We can't be half-hearted sannyasi. Neither should be associated with half-hearted people. Very important. So, sannyasi is not a simple, easy thing. Everybody says, I want to be sannyasi, I want to be sannyasi. What? Sannyasi is inside. Heart and mind. Anyone and all of us can be sannyasi in the heart. You don't have to dress to become sannyasi. Unless you want to preach. Unless you want to do it very nicely. Otherwise you don't become sannyasi. You become sannyasi here. Here. And you preach. Otherwise no business being a sannyasi. Dress. Because the only other reason to be sannyas is to collect money and collect adoration. Yeah? You want that? No, then you don't want that. We don't want that. We want to be devotees. To be servant of the servant of the servant. Right? That's what we want. Any other point? Any other point or a realization or? Or you are very hungry for Pushpa? Yeah, actually we can talk so many stories, you know, but we are limited, you know.
Mm.
But time, there's nothing. If there's nothing, then we shall have a short bhajan and listen.